Usually when we talk about making a choice, there's this underlying assumption of total ownership. Think about getting dressed this morning.
Right.
You opened your closet, you scanned your shirt, you grabbed the blue one, and you thought, well, I chose the blue one today because I like blue.
Yeah, it feels completely autonomous. Like we all want to believe our minds are these fortified castles,
Yeah.
right? And that we are the sole architects of our daily decisions.
Exactly. But then you step into the world of mentalism, and suddenly that fortress looks terrifyingly fragile.
Oh, absolutely. It's wild.
It is. We're venturing into a psychological landscape today where choices are entirely manufactured. For this deep dive, we're pulling from some highly guarded mentalism texts.
Yeah, specifically, we're looking at a breakdown of a routine called the Chinese Whispers Word Force,
Right.
along with a really incredible masterclass in deception by the legendary mentalist Banachek.
And the mission of this deep dive is to basically rip the lid off how these performers create what feel like actual undeniable miracles.
Right, using psychological traps, incredibly subtle linguistics, and invisible staging.
Yeah, they are bypassing human free will, and they are doing it while disguised as a harmless childhood game. Okay, let's unpack this, starting with the physical stage setup.
Yeah, that's crucial. Because long before any mind reading actually happens, the performer is already building a cage around the audience's brain.
Right, the secret to the trap is that the magic doesn't happen at the climax of the trick.
Exactly. The mentalist is building the architecture of the illusion while the audience is, still settling into their seats.
So in this Chinese whispers routine, how does it actually start?
Well, the performer kicks things off by casually tossing a ball out into the crowd.
Which is a brilliant psychological disarm. I mean, a ball is a toy.
Right.
It screams recess and playtime, not, I am about to manipulate your subconscious.
Exactly. And whoever catches the ball tosses it to someone else, creating this chain of six random people who are then invited up to the stage.
So it's a visual way of telling the room that the sample group is entirely random.
Yes. And while those six unsuspecting people are walking up to the stage, the mentalist is doing the actual dirty work.
Sneaky.
Very. They start handing out two clipboards to the rest of the audience. And these clipboards have cards on them, numbered 1 to 10. And the audience members are asked to write down a random word to create a master list, any word they want, unlimited choices.
I love how this mirrors a funnel disguised as an open field.
That's a great way to put it.
Because to the six volunteers on stage and to you sitting in the audience, it looks like this vast, infinite meadow of language.
Right, but the mentalist is actually fencing everyone in.
So they line up the six volunteers and explain the rules of Chinese whispers. The first person thinks of a word, whispers it to the second person.
Standard rule so far.
Yeah. Then the second person has to associate a new word with it and whisper that to the third, and so on down the line. But here is the invisible fence.
Here comes.
They are instructed that they must associate their whispered word with a word from the lists being generated by the audience on those clipboards.
Right. And the mentalist takes it a step further by verbally cementing this illusion of impossibility.
How so?
They stand center stage and recite this very specific script to the crowd. They say, seven personalities, five lists, 50 words, and one single idea.
That sounds like a riddle.
Yeah.
Why recite a math problem to the audience?
It's deliberate cognitive overload. By rattling off all those variables, seven personalities, five lists, 50 words,
Yeah.
the mentalist is actively frying the audience's analytical brain.
Oh, wow. So you just kind of short circuit.
Exactly. When the human mind tries to track that many moving parts, it gets overwhelmed and just gives up trying to reverse engineer the trick.
Yeah.
It forces the audience to stop calculating and just accept the premise.
And the constraints don't stop at the lists, do they?
Not at all.
Because while the mentalist was handing out those clipboards earlier, they were casually dropping some incredibly sneaky psychological anchors.
Yeah, the source text calls these subliminal drops. What's fascinating here is how blatantly the performer plants the seeds. As the mentalist hands out the first clipboard, they casually tell the audience, "Don't be influenced by this music." And when handing out the second, they say, "Don't be influenced by this hunting."
It exploits a fundamental glitch in human cognition.
Yeah.
It's the classic paradox of negation.
Right.
If I tell you right now, do not think of a pink elephant.
The absolute first image that materializes in your brain is a pink elephant.
Exactly. You cannot process the command to avoid a concept without first visualizing the concept itself.
The brain has to load the file to know what file to delete.
Right. So by telling the audience not to think of music or hunting, The mentalist practically guarantees that words related to music or hunting are going to end up written on those clipboards.
Yeah, the seeds are planted, the environment feels chaotic, but it is brutally controlled. The trap is set.
The stage is primed. Now the performer just has to orchestrate the final reveal.
Which brings us to the person standing at the very end of the line on stage. Volunteer number 6.
Let's call her Kim.
Okay, Kim. So the mentalist pulls Kim aside, away from the microphone, and whispers to her.
The source text calls this the little secrets tremor.
Yes. The mentalist is essentially drafting Kim to play the role of a psychic completely on the fly.
How do they do that without her just being confused?
The mentalist whispers, this is how I read minds. I look at volunteer number 5 and I think, what type of things do they do?
Okay.
And then the mentalist starts feeding Kim associations. They ask her, does this person look as if they can play an instrument?
Oh. Hooking perfectly back into that subliminal drop of music from the clipboard phase.
Exactly. The context basically demands that Kim say yes. Then the mentalist asks, what is all music made up of?
Notes.
Right. Kim naturally arrives at the word notes. The mentalist tells her to lock that in as her first choice.
Smart.
Then, to secure a backup option, the mentalist says, maybe they'll choose a simpler word, something you use to play the violin with.
And she says bow.
Bingo.
So she has notes and bow. She now has 2 forced words holstered and ready. But wait, here's where it gets really interesting. Why use a random audience member for this?
What do you mean?
Well, it seems incredibly reckless to trust a total stranger to play along as the psychic. Like, Kim could just panic, grab the microphone, shout the word pizza, and the entire show falls apart. Why not just use a paid stooge in the audience who knows the script?
It's a great point, and it is a calculated risk. Yeah. But mentalists avoid paid stooges because audiences possess a highly tuned collective intuition.
Really?
Yeah. A crowd can subconsciously detect the unnatural timing or, like, the overacting of a planted actor, but they inherently trust one of their own.
I see.
When Kim is up there, she is genuinely experiencing something strange, and her authentic reaction sells the illusion.
But how do they ensure she doesn't go off script and shout pizza?
Look at how the mentalist paces the whispered questions. They never say, when I point to you, say the word note.
Because that would feel like taking orders.
Exactly. Instead, they ask leading questions. What is music made of? Kim has to search her own brain to find the word notes. Because she produced the word internally, she feels absolute ownership of it.
Wow.
So when the mentalist steps back to the microphone and asks her out loud, you have a word in mind that you named on your own. She nods yes.
And she isn't lying to the room.
Not at all. The step-by-step guidance created a reality where Kim genuinely believes she is the architect of a thought that was actually planted there.
She feels totally autonomous, but she's walking right down that paved road.
Exactly.
So the climax is approaching. The whisper chain has rippled down the line of volunteers. It has reached the 5th person. Let's call him Paul.
Okay, Paul.
Paul has his final associated word locked in his head. Kim is standing at the end, primed with note and bow. The mentalist needs to know which of those 2 words Paul landed on so they can cue Kim to shout the right one.
Right. The performer needs a bridge between Paul's mind and Kim's mouth.
So the mentalist hands Paul a notepad and asks him to physically write his final word down.
And the script the mentalist uses here is so cheeky, they hand Paul the pad and say, actually, I don't want to see what it is, while turning their head away.
But we know from the text they absolutely need to see it.
Oh, definitely. They only need a fraction of a second, though. The text refers to this as the peak.
Right.
The mentalist uses a physical method to intercept the information. The text mentions tools like a billet switch or a thumb tip.
I want to break down those mechanics because that's where the actual thievery happens.
Yeah, let's hear it.
A billet switch is pure sleight of hand. Paul writes his word on a small piece of paper, a billet, and folds it up.
Right.
The mentalist takes it from him, but in the motion of handing it to someone else to hold or putting it in a glass jar, they swap Paul's folded paper for an identical dummy paper hidden in their fingers.
It's so fast you don't even see it.
Yeah. And then later, while pacing the stage, the mentalist casually opens Paul's actual paper with one hand, glances down for half a second, and knows the word.
And a thumb tip operates on a similar principle of invisible mechanics.
What's a thumb tip exactly?
It's a hollow plastic replica of a thumb that fits over the mentalist's actual thumb. It can be used to secretly extract that folded piece of paper from a bowl, or even house a tiny piece of pencil lead so the mentalist can secretly write a prediction on the fly.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. The goal is always the same. acquire the information without the audience ever registering a moment of compromise.
And the crazy part is, the mentalist doesn't even need to read the whole word, just the very first letter, as Paul writes it.
Right, because of the force.
Exactly.
Right.
If Paul's pen strokes start forming an N, the mentalist knows the word is note. If he starts forming a B, the word is bow.
So simple.
Based on that single letter, the mentalist cues Kim. They tell her to name her first choice or her second choice. Paul turns his board around, Kim shouts her word, the words match perfectly, and the audience loses their minds.
It is a beautifully constructed mousetrap, but, you know, it relies on Paul actually playing along and writing down a noun from the list.
Right.
What happens if Paul gets confused by the whisper chain and writes down something completely unexpected?
That would ruin everything.
Well, the true mark of a master mentalist isn't how they pull off the trick, it's how they handle the failure. They build a safety net known as the out.
Oh, the source material gives a fantastic example of an out. Imagine Paul sneaks a peek at the clipboard lists, panics, and writes down the word actually. Yeah, it's an adverb. It completely breaks the chain of association. The mentalist peeks the A, realizes it's neither note nor bow, and is staring down the barrel of a ruined show.
Right, so a novice panics, but a master instantly reframes reality.
Oh.
The mentalist peeks the word actually and immediately interjects. They say to Paul, live on microphone, wait, you need to associate a thing to the word whispered in your ear? That word you're thinking of is an adverb? How about a noun? Something more tangible.
Man, it takes so much psychological dominance to pull that off.
It really does.
They are literally correcting the volunteer's internal thought process in front of hundreds of people. But they deliver it with such authority that it sounds like they're just clarifying the rules of the game.
Exactly. The audience doesn't think a mistake was made. They think the mentalist is just being incredibly precise.
It maintains the hierarchy. The mentalist is the authority figure.
Yeah, and the text introduces another layer of this verbal dominance called AI wording.
Artificial intelligence.
No, in this case, it stands for automatic imagination. It's a concept pioneered by mentalists like Anthony Jackin and Kev Sheldrake, alongside specific phrasing developed by Kenton Nepper.
Oh, right, like telling a spectator you doubt.
Exactly.
The script suggests looking a volunteer dead in the eye and saying, you doubt whether we could get this right? But then you might be wondering how I could know just then that I knew you were doubting that.
It's quite a mouthful.
It is. So what does this all mean for the spectator when the mentalist dictates their internal feelings out loud? Doesn't telling someone you doubt me just make them defensive and break the spell?
You'd think so, but it actually creates an inescapable self-fulfilling prophecy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. When a commanding figure on stage confidently names your internal state like, you doubt your brain reflexively searches for evidence to confirm that statement.
Oh, interesting.
You think, well, I guess I was feeling a little skeptical about this trick. By narrating your internal monologue, the mentalist short-circuits your critical thinking.
So you just agree with them?
Pretty much. It creates this overwhelming, suffocating sense that the magic is intensely real and that the mentalist is literally rummaging around inside your head. It paralyzes any urge to resist or question the trick.
They are hacking the spectator's emotional code in real time.
That's a great way to put it.
But you know, everything we've analyzed so far is highly structured. We have clipboards, subliminal priming, sleight of hand billet switches, and aggressive linguistic corrections.
Lots of moving parts.
Exactly. And there is a massive vulnerability in this Chinese whispers routine, which is physical evidence. If a true skeptic in the audience remembers the clipboards, they might deduce the list force. To create a truly bulletproof God-tier illusion, a mentalist has to remove the physical props entirely.
Which brings us to the bonus routine in our sources, Banachek's reverse association.
Yes.
If the first routine relies on an invisible cage, Banachek's routine removes the cage entirely to manufacture an even more devastating illusion. It is a masterclass in pure invisible methodology.
Picture the stage. There are no lists, no clipboards handed out to the crowd, no restricted categories.
This pure, unstructured human imagination.
The first person in the line thinks of any word in the universe. They whisper it to the second person who associates a new word, whispers it down the line, pure chaotic Chinese whispers.
And the final person in the chain states their word out loud for the whole theater to hear. Let's say the final word is boat.
Okay, boat.
Only after hearing this final word does Banachek pull out a notepad, write down a prediction, and place it face down on a table.
Then the real magic trick begins. The entire whisper chain reverses.
Right, they walk backwards through the associations.
The person who said boat reveals they heard water. The person who said water reveals they heard ocean.
Mm.
And they trace the lineage of the thought all the way back to the very first person who reveals the completely random word they started the game with.
We'll say it was scissors.
Scissors. Okay.
Banachek then points to the prediction resting on the table, the one he wrote just moments ago. A volunteer opens it and it reads, "Because the final association word was boat, I think the first word in this game must have been scissors."
It operates like a time machine.
It really does.
The mentalist somehow tracked a chaotic, unpredictable web of human association backwards instantly and landed on a word that was never spoken out loud. It feels impossible. But the secret is almost infuriatingly mundane.
It is. The secret is pre-show extraction. It is a masterclass in temporal deception.
Pre-show work.
Yeah. Long before the stage lights even came on, Banachek was working. He approached that first volunteer while they were mingling in the lobby long before they knew they would be on stage.
I have to ask how you even do that without the person immediately realizing it's part of the show.
Yeah.
If a performer walks up to me in the lobby and asks me to think of a word, I'm going to be highly suspicious when that word shows up an hour later on stage.
Well, you never introduce yourself as the performer.
Oh.
Right. A mentalist might pose as an usher handing out a survey about the venue, or a sound technician asking someone to read a random word into a microphone to test the audio levels.
That is so devious.
They extract the word scissors under a completely innocuous guise. The volunteer forgets the interaction the moment they walk into the theater. Banachek knew the word scissors an hour before the curtain even went up.
That reframes the entire performance. He solved the puzzle before the audience even realized there was a puzzle to be solved.
Exactly.
The live stage performance is just a beautifully orchestrated theatrical play where literally only one person, Banachek, knows the ending.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the psychology of why this trick completely breaks the human brain is profound. It's about decoupling the method from the effect.
Decoupling the method from the effect. What does that mean for the audience?
Well, human beings naturally link cause and effect within a continuous, unbroken timeline. When a magic trick begins on stage, the audience's guard goes up. They start looking for the secret from that exact moment forward.
They are analyzing the whisper chain, looking for hidden earpieces or secret signals.
Exactly. They assume the entirety of the trick exists strictly between the word boat and the word scissors. Because they didn't witness the lobby interaction an hour prior, that interaction simply does not exist in their analytical timeline.
That is wild.
By separating the dirty work, the pre-show method, from the stage performance, the effect by an hour or more, the mentalist exploits a massive blind spot in human perception.
You cannot solve a puzzle if you are entirely unaware that half the pieces have already been hidden in the performer's pocket.
Beautifully said.
The audience is burning massive amounts of brain power, scrutinizing the complex chain of whispers happening right in front of them, completely blind to the fact that the game was rigged before they even surrendered their tickets at the door. Right. It is the ultimate illusion of free choice, because the volunteer's choice of the word scissors was entirely real. It just happened off stage.
It brings our entire exploration full circle. Whether a performer is forcing a word through a highly constrained, subliminally primed list, or secretly extracting a freely chosen word ahead of time in the lobby, the ultimate goal remains the same.
To control the outcome.
Yes. The objective is to make the subject feel entirely in command of a situation that is being meticulously, ruthlessly directed by someone else.
Which is the perfect moment to pull these concepts out of the theater and drop them into your daily life.
Oh, absolutely.
Because as much as we would love to comfort ourselves by thinking these techniques only exist on a Las Vegas stage with a guy holding a clipboard, they don't. The mechanics of mentalism are the exact same mechanics used in everyday human influence.
Definitely. When you scroll through your social media feed, you are interacting with algorithms that are designed to act much like that mentalist. They are constantly dropping subliminal anchors. They present you with a free choice of articles to read or videos to watch, but that menu has been heavily, invisibly curated based on behavioral data you didn't even realize you were providing.
It is the 7 personalities, 5 lists, 50 words condition all over again.
Yes, exactly.
You log on and you feel like you are exploring the limitless landscape of the internet. You feel autonomous, but you're really just walking around inside a carefully constructed funnel.
And marketers use the exact same priming techniques. They aren't going to explicitly say, "Don't think about hunting," but they use color theory, tempo and music, and incredibly specific phrasing to guide your association.
Right, until you arrive at the checkout cart, genuinely believing you decided to buy that product completely of your own volition.
This raises an important question about how we navigate an increasingly curated modern world.
What's the question?
Well, if our cognitive blind spots can be so easily, so thoroughly exploited by a performer armed with nothing but a notepad and a plastic thumb tip, how much more vulnerable are we to billion-dollar technological infrastructures designed to do the exact same thing on a global scale?
Man, it really makes you reconsider the structural integrity of that fortified castle in your mind.
It really does.
So we'll leave you with this. The next time you have a totally random thought, or you make a sudden, spontaneous choice, whether it's picking a restaurant for dinner, buying a specific brand of shoes, or even forming a passionate opinion on a news story, take a step back.
Look at the menu you were handed.
Look at the font, the framing, the subliminal drops echoing around you. Are you truly the one who authored that thought, or are you just the last person in an unseen chain of Chinese whispers?